You don't have to be all that perceptive to notice that malls and retail sales in general have been on a slow and steady decline for quite some time now. Sears, Dillard's, JCPenney will all soon just be remnants of a long-forgotten consumerist era. Due to my considerable bad luck and lack of forward thinking, I found myself employed by one of these dying malls. I remember the day I started at the place. I accidentally parked all the way on the other side of the building and had to walk to my work location, Spencer's Gifts, which was the very last store open at that mall. My interview with the store manager was over Zoom, so this was my first time actually entering the place. I literally felt like I was going into a ghost town. There was this overgrown planter up ahead that sat in the middle of the hallway, with these long wiry weeds bursting out from the center of it and covering the sides. I smirked as an old plastic bag literally rolled across the hallway, like a tumbleweed from an old Western movie. A wide-eyed, disheveled homeless man shuffled around the corner past me, looking very stressed. He then turned and looked back, as if searching for someone, then ambled right past me again, not even making eye contact. I stopped at the food court before my shift to grab something, wondering if there'd still even be any food windows in operation. Luckily, there were two places. A hot dog and Chinese food window were both open. Neither were my favorites, but I figured I could probably fill up on some fries at least. As I walked over to the hot dog window, I noticed someone out of the corner of my eye who immediately disturbed me. Across the rows of empty tables and chairs, there was an obese woman at a large table with two different trays in front of her. She was literally going back and forth from a Chinese platter to a hot dog and slurping everything down with a milkshake. Sauce was covering her face and shirt as she consumed voraciously. I'd never seen anything like it, and I didn't want to stare, but it definitely made me uncomfortable. So I grabbed the fries and headed to my store to eat them in the break room. As I walked out, I turned my back and saw her look up from her food. She stared at me blankly, but with this deranged hint of desire. Luckily, I was told before where the time clock for the store was. I walked straight to the back and found a coworker, Brandy, who was aggressively stocking items on a shelf and eventually noticed me. "You the new guy?" she asked as she grabbed one of my fries. Her studded eyebrow ring glistened as light cast across an enormous burn scar covering half her face. She was probably in her early 30s, and you could tell by her curt personality that she'd been dealing with the social ramifications of the scar for most of her life. "You hear what happened to the guy whose spot you took?" she bluntly said as she jammed some rolled up posters into a cubby. "No, what?" I asked, thinking that I should have probably realized there would be a reason the last store in a dying mall in 2020 was hiring. Guy was convinced this mall was some kind of secret CIA facility or something. He talked to me about it all the time. Cops eventually found him up on the rooftop with his ears chopped off, saying he was trying to make the voices go away. Dude's been in a facility ever since, she said. Clearly shook by the disturbing story, I sat in silence for a moment. Then I awkwardly thanked her for the info and went over to the time clock to clock in. The rest of the people who came through that day seemed like different variations of Brandy, looking for piercings and raunchy greeting cards to give his presence. Either way, it was a pretty standard day for that kind of place. Except for one really weird thing. The manager I had met with over Zoom never showed up, so I basically just took direction from Brandy the whole time. At closing, she showed me how to shut down the register. Then we cut the lights before bringing down the gate over the front of the shop. The hallway of the mall was so dark and silent that you could probably hear a pin drop from all the way across at the other side. I painfully remembered at that moment I was going to have to cross the entire place to get to my car. "Where are you parked?" Brandy asked as she locked the metal gate. I pointed to the left down into the abyss of empty stores. "Ooh, man, I feel for you," Brandy said as she turned to the right and gave me the hang-loose gesture with her hand. I guess I sort of expected her to offer me a ride to my car, but knowing my luck, I'm not sure why I would have thought that. Anyways, I started down the empty hallway of abandoned stores. I casually looked through the windows of the different places, in various states of disrepair. It really was surprising the way many of them were left. Some were totally stripped, but then others seemed like the owners had just walked out, leaving all kinds of garbage and merchandise behind. One of them I came across was this custom doll shop, with countless little eyes staring out at me from the darkness. I moved past that one very quickly. Then I came to one that looked like it had been some kind of indoor playground in the 90s. I gazed through the window and saw one of those little fiberglass castles that you'd see at playgrounds. A tiny shadow suddenly scurried out from behind it to another area of the store. It happened so abruptly that I wasn't even sure what I'd seen. The gate wasn't even locked and was sitting partially opened. So I lifted it and stepped inside. "Hello?" I called out into the darkness, hearing nothing back. That was when I thought I heard a child's scared breathing. "Hello?" I called, but there was still no response. I got too freaked out to keep searching at that point, so I hightailed it under the gate and down the hall. Then the homeless man from earlier came out from around the corner and almost crashed into me. "Hey, what the hell?" I yelled at him, but like before, he just kept walking. The mall had been closed for at least a half hour, so he shouldn't have been in there, but I didn't know the number for security yet, and I wasn't going to go chase him down. I figured I'd just tell the manager about it the next day and see what they said. Finally, I got to the door of the parking lot and discovered that it was now pouring out. My dog hadn't been fed or walked in like 8 hours, so I didn't have time to wait. I braved the rain and eventually got to my car, but when I reached down to unlock the door, I saw the shadow of the huge woman from the food court before, standing out in the rain. There was no cars around her, and she stood slightly off balance, looking completely out of it. I got into my car and started it, trying to ignore her, but when I looked up, I saw her running at an incredible speed towards me. I accelerated, hydroplaning and spinning in one place. She jumped onto the back of my car and pounded her fist on the windshield, breaking the window. Turning the wheel back and forth, I tried desperately to shake her off, but she wouldn't budge. In a last-ditch effort, I threw a tire iron from under my back seat at her face. That finally knocked her off, sending her into some bushes off the side of the road. I called the police immediately and told them what had happened, to which they said they'd go check it out. After arriving home, I was contacted by an officer who told me they weren't able to find the woman, but that they were going to keep looking. Send someone to assess the damage in my car. Shortly after the call, I heard the front door of my apartment open. I slowly walked out into the living room with a baseball bat. She was there, her mouth gaping wide open, her clothes torn, and her hands were clenched, ready to attack. But before she could, a bag came down over her head from behind, and a man injected her with some kind of paralyzing agent. She fell to the floor, and he stepped over her, another man coming in behind him. At first, I thought they were somehow with the police, until I looked over at my pit bull, Doug, and saw that he was bizarrely just frozen there. They were both pale, bald, and had these piercing white eyes, and gazed at me until my hand suddenly opened, dropping the bat. One of the men approached and handed me a paper with a typed set of instructions on it. They said, "1, you will continue your job at Rareview Mall until specified otherwise. 2, you will not inform authorities about this interaction or anything related to what you find at Rareview Mall. Failure to follow this guideline will risk serious repercussions." Below that number, there was a list of my family members and their addresses. Then lastly, it said, 3, you will write down all supernatural occurrences that take place during your shifts at the mall. If your entries are sufficient to us, you will eventually be allowed to leave, as well as compensated for your time. As soon as I was done reading, the man grabbed the paper back from me. and they both immediately walked out the door, dragging the woman's body with them. My dog then reawoke, barking and confused. That was about a week ago to the day, and the things I have discovered since then are even more bizarre than the stuff I did the first day. I still have not been contacted by those men again, and I don't know how much longer I can keep going with this. I fear for my life on a daily basis. Although I am scared, one thing is for sure. The more time I spend at this mall, the more intrigued I become with its true nature and why I'm needed here. I created this document as a way for others to keep track of me, so if I disappear, at least someone will know why.